Welcome to Manufacturing Revival Radio, brought to you by Assembly Magazine. Assembly Magazine educates suppliers, buyers, and users of assembly equipment in manufacturing plants to connect, learn, share, and explore all things assembly. This special edition of Manufacturing Revival is coming to you live from the floor of the Assembly Show in Rosemont, Illinois. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good afternoon. You are with Todd and Todd, live from Chicago at the Assembly Show, Manufacturing Revival Radio on location. Todd, we're starting to get the flurry of robotics companies now. This is the highlight of our day.
It always is. And it's interesting. We're going to get down into a detail. Everybody gets enamored with the whole robot, and all this end of arm and the grippers and all that stuff is really cool when you dive into it.
Well, that's where I think the rubber hits the road, probably literally. Say hello to our next guest. His name is Dan Peretz. He's a vice president, North America, for IPR Robotics. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. Dan, before we get into it, take a quick sec. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, I got started in manufacturing way back when I was 18 years old, and started as a machinist and moved up and got an engineering degree and got into automation, and have been in it and love it, breathe it, bleed it, as they say.
Outstanding. Well, we wouldn't have it any other way, Dan. Give us the 10,000-foot view of IPR Robotics. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
IPR Robotics is a division of IPR in Germany. We basically build the hands and feet to robots. And what I mean by that, we build the end of arm tools from the face of the robot down to touching the part. And we build RTUs, or seventh axis as they're typically called, for moving the robots into different positions. We also have a full line of standard components which can get designed into end of arm tools if so the integrators wish to do their own design work. We're probably about a 30 million euro company overall.
Now, end of arm, just the whole process of how you figure out what needs to be at the business end of the robot fascinates me. Talk about your approach. I mean, how do you figure out what to do it, how to program it?
Well, the key out of it always is you must understand the application. So the first thing you have to do is you have to dig in with your customer, understand what they're trying to accomplish. And when you do that and you understand what their application is, the designing of the end of arm tool actually becomes simple. There's challenging things to the design, but you first have to understand how to make it all come together.
Hey, go back. There's one thing. Sometimes I've been in a situation where I ask the customer, what is it that you want? And they tell you, and they're wrong. I mean, I got to believe that happens often, that a customer really doesn't understand what their application is. You just talked about how important it is. Right. How do you work through making a customer realize, oops, I didn't think it through completely?
Well, therein lies, again, you first ask the question, what is it that you want? You hear what it is, but you have a good broad understanding of multiple applications out there. So when the customer tells you, this is what I want, then you start asking what I would call the penetrating questions of digging deeper into what it is that they really want to accomplish, and also making recommendations and suggestions of how to streamline it and improve their idea. So at the end of the day, the customer, all they're really concerned with is, I need to do something with this part, I need to move it over here and do something else with it, and at the end of the day, I got a finished product, right? And so what you do as a group like us, designing end of arm tools and rails and so forth, You look at that and you streamline that process and you make recommendations on how they can actually do it for less or more economically or faster, depending on the situation.
All right. We're coming to you from the Assembly Show, and we're speaking with Dan Peretz with IPR Robotics. Dan, the reason Todd and I launched this show was to provide a forum for organizations like yours to tell cool stories. And so I wanted to tee you up. Talk about how IPR was able to solve a really tough assembly automation challenge for a customer. Give us a good story.
Well, the one that comes to mind immediately in my mind is that we actually do a lot of handling of sand cores for making engine blocks and heads for engines. And, of course, as you know, the automotive industry is booming right now. And in order to do that, they're coming out with more engine designs for more, gas-efficient, designs. So if you look at it from assembling a sand core package, and they used to do it by hand, and they don't do that anymore. They do it with robots. So we build the end of arm tools that handle all those little delicate sand core components, and they get assembled and glued into the core package as a whole. And once the package is complete, Then they pour the liquid aluminum into place. Okay? So when you think about those challenging kinds of applications, think about handling a small stick of sand, and don't break it, by the way. Mm. And that's what we bring to the table of our knowledge. And also having end-of-arm tooling that they can then, if something goes wrong with the tooling, and something always does, a crash or over millions of cycles something wears out, they want to be able to just mount another tool up immediately and have be up and running again. And we've proven that we can make basically a duplicate tool so that all they have to do is the robot drops the old tool off, picks up the new tool, and they're running the program. And that saves them an enormous amount of downtime.
Well, I'm thinking you've referenced downtime now, economics of doing all this. The financial impact of intelligently applying robots to an assembly process is huge. Just talk a little bit about that. I mean, how big is the financial impact? How much money can folks save?
They can save a lot of money by just doing the process properly. And you can also lose a lot of money if the process itself is incorrect or it has a flaw in it. And now you're backtracking to try to improve on it. But the amount of money you can save in economically doing things, if I can handle with one end of arm tool three or four different parts at the same time, that's better than employing three or four more robots to do the one operation. So right there you're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, we've been talking a lot about your end of arm tool solutions. What else do you guys do, and how else do you serve a market?
Well, as I said before, we also make RTUs or seventh axis, and that allows now to take the robot from being mounted to the floor, and it now makes it movable. So you can use it in multitude different types of processes along the way. So again, for machine tending or moving parts from fixture to fixture, et cetera, you can just leave, you can put the robot on the track and it moves to the new position. Whereas before they would use conveyors and they would use another robot, which again would be mounted to the floor. Well, that's gone now. You don't need that. Many times in operations in assembly processes, robots are idle. They're waiting for the next set of parts to come. Well, if you can utilize that robot in the process so that its uptime of being used is 90-95% of the time, you're getting your money out of that robot.
Dan, it strikes me as we're talking that there's an awful lot to know about not only the exact end of arm tool that I need, but how to apply it, how to program it. And it's probably the case that a lot of your customers just flat don't have those kinds of skills. Talk about the service aspect of what you do and helping customers think through how to intelligently apply the systems you've got.
Well, in our staff here in the U.S., we have six designers on board. And probably between all six designers, I probably have over 80 years of experience. They have good robotic understanding. In other words, you have to deal with inertias and loads and speeds, etc. And you need to understand the limitations of robots as well when you design your end-of-arm tool. And then you also have interfacing with fixtures and other things that check fixtures for the parts as they're being processed as well. So you're pulling together with this end-of-arm tool, you're interfacing with multitude of different devices compared to, you know, just making a standard pick-and-place, pneumatic pick-and-place for the process.
All right. Well, Dan, I hate to say it, but we're about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about IPR Robotics?
You can reach us at our phone number, which is 248-591-3880, or you can email us at techsales@iprrobotics.com.
Dan Peretz, Vice President North America for IPR Robotics. Dan, it was great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you much, guys. Join the show. Thanks.
Well, we enjoyed it, too. Okay. That wraps this segment. On behalf of our guest, Dan Peretz, my co-host, Todd Youngblood, everyone at Assembly Magazine, I'm Todd Schnick. This has been Manufacturing Revival Radio, broadcasting direct from the Assembly Show. We'll be right back.